All right. I think most of you have been here at least part of the time. You may not have been here every week, but you know we're getting through 1 Samuel, and we're near the end of it. And so David's been anointed by Samuel. He's going to be king, but he's on the run because Saul's trying to kill him, and he's out protecting, you know, or he's out as he's running or on the run. They stay in these strongholds or caves or in the wilderness, and while he watches over his fellow Israelites, people like Nabal and Abigail, and watches over their livestock, their sheep, and protects them. He was a wall, as the Bible says here. Well, Nabal says, "That's not enough. I didn't ask for your help. I didn't want you to help." And we talked about this 4 or 5 weeks ago, back before Christmas, that it would really be akin, if we're looking at Nabal, that you just do something good for somebody just because you're a believer, because Jesus lives in you. And so David asked for some food and to share in the spoils, and Nabal's like, "No, you didn't do anything to earn it." Now, you can dispute whether he did or not. You can say, well, Nabal never asked him, but he definitely was a fortress and a wall for Nabal to protect the Philistines or other people from raiding in and taking some of his animals. And so David gets mad, and he's going to kill Nabal. Not any doubt about that. And Abigail intervenes. We see that. That's his wife. And the Bible says she was intelligent and beautiful, and Nabal was a foolish man. So we looked at both of those. And then last week we looked at David, and we looked at the bad side and how we jump to conclusions and how we don't pray about things and how we maybe don't listen. So what happens is David gets mad, he gets upset, and then Abigail intervenes. This servant goes to Abigail and says, "Hey, this is what's happened. Our master is kind of a foolish man. You know, no one can talk to him. So you might want to do something about it." So Abigail takes all of this food, and she brings servants with her, and she goes before and she bows down. We looked at her a couple of weeks ago, and she said, "Let all the blame fall on me." Now, we're going to look at two parts of this tonight. Again, we looked at David last week. This week, we're going to look at, she prophesied, and we've already read that a couple of weeks ago in 26 through 31. Now, we're going to come back to that. But these are the actual things that David does. Then we're going to back up a little bit and look at 26 through 31 again and look at what he was preserved from by doing the right thing. Now, we want to parallel this with David's life, and we'll have to fast forward a little bit to 2 Samuel, is that David, it kind of parallels with Bathsheba, the incident with Bathsheba, and so we'll look at that as we go along. On one time, the Bathsheba incident, he did not make the right decision. On this one, he does. So verse 32 says, "Then David said to Abigail, 'Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me, and blessed be your discernment, and blessed be you.'" There's three blessed there, blessed, however you want to say that, that David pronounces on the situation. First, he says, "Blessed be God, the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me." So David recognizes that God is in complete control of every situation. Now, I don't know about you, but when we get frustrated, sometimes it's hard for us to give God the credit or even acknowledge that God is sovereign. I know I'm bad about that. I get very frustrated. I get bent out of shape pretty easily. I don't like it. And then sometimes I have to just stop and go, "Hey, Lord, you're in control of this. Would you just help me to calm down a little bit?" I was actually trying to start a fire today in the wind as it was burning some extra rubbish, and I couldn't get it started, and I didn't like it, and I was mad, and I'd about burned up all my dryer lint. That's our fire starter now. If you've never done that, that's the best fire starter in the world. And all my dryer lint had about burned up before my other stuff was catching on fire, and the wind kept blowing it out, and I was just getting mad. And so I walked to the house, and when I come back, it's just flaming. It's like it's took off. And the Lord just kind of spoke to me. He's like, "See, if you'll just calm down, it's really not that big a deal. It's just a fire." And I'm like, "Yeah, I know." So, But and it's not just that, it's other situations we get when things don't go our way. We many times don't stop and realize that God is in control of the situation. But David recognizes here, he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to meet me." Yes, Abigail went, but it was God who sent her. And we could use this for every situation in the Christian walk. It's giving. I've had people give. A lot of you give to me, have given to me. You've blessed me. And you, whether you give me money or a gift card or a hug or whatever it is, but we can look in monetary terms. Yes, you are the one that has given it to me or anybody else, but it's God who ultimately is giving to me. He is providing to me or whoever, and he is using you to give to me or whoever again. So Abigail is the one who stopped David. We get that. But it is God who sent her. It is God who spurred her heart on to do that. So David, the first thing he does, he recognizes the sovereignty of God in it. And then he says, "And blessed be your discernment." He understands that Abigail is wise in the situation. Now, God's going to put people in our lives, and this is really the crux of the whole sermon tonight, is that this, and we're going to get to it there in verse 35 in a minute, where David listened. Who did he listen to? He could have listened to, you know, the devil. He could have listened to that wrong voice in his head that said, "Nah, I wouldn't listen to her. She doesn't know what she's talking about. You should kill Nabal." But he doesn't. He listens to her. So he says, "Blessed be your discernment, and blessed be you who have kept me this day from bloodshed." He recognizes her wisdom. I was reading something today, a guy that I follow on Twitter, and he's one of these philosopher types, and he has some good stuff, and most of you probably heard this before in a business sense, but the way he worded today, he said, "Hang around people you want to become," and we can say that about Jesus, or we can say that about good business people, or prudent people, good Christian people. He said, because that's who you're going to become. And he said, cut the other people. Some of them need to be cut out of your life. And it's true for all of us. We want to be around, or we should desire to be around, godly people, people that are discerning in godly wisdom. And David recognizes that in her. He said, "Blessed be your discernment." And then he just says, "And just blessed be you. Blessed be you in general." Now, it's kind of hard for us to get this today because we don't pronounce blessings like they did then. If, you know, and Dad preached it a couple of weeks ago about Jacob and Esau and the blessing or the birthright. And so, you know, when we get to that, actually he's going to get to that, and they switched the hands and all that. And I had a professor or a teacher in seminary that did that with his children. He said he would actually put his hands on them and pray a blessing on them and pronounce a blessing on them. It's kind of lost to us in the Western world, but it was much more prevalent then, this pronouncing and announcing and calling down blessings. And so David says, not only is your discernment blessed, but just blessed be you in general. And may God bless you this day, because you have kept me from bloodshed and from avenging myself by my own hand. So nevertheless, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has restrained me from harming you, unless you had come quickly to meet me, surely there would not have been left to Nabal until the morning light as much as one male. So David pronounces this blessing. He recognizes her discernment. He blesses her. And then he recognizes what God has done. God has kept me from harming you. Now, we don't get into it yet on what all would have happened if David had harmed him, but we know this, that God has kept him. He's kept David from shedding blood. Not necessarily innocent blood with Nabal, but there was some innocent blood. So God has kept him from doing that. So David received from her hand what she had brought him and said to her, "Go up to your house in peace. See, I have listened to you and granted your request." So David received these gifts that she brought. Now, we've talked about this before. Anytime you receive a gift, receive it now, not just because somebody offers it, but when you truly receive it, it's going to put your guard down a little bit. If maybe you're upset with someone and they walk up and hand you a gift, $100 bill or whatever it is, bring you food to your house, you're going to be like, well, that was nice of them. And it kind of puts your guard down a little bit. And that's what's happened to David. Abigail brings him these gifts, and so he receives them. But for us, it can go further than that. It could be forgiveness or something akin to that. But the big thing is that I want us to see here. It says, see, I have listened to you, and I have granted your request. Now, Abigail is not the Holy Spirit. Abigail is not any part of the Trinity, but she is, in a sense, a form of the Holy Spirit for David. She is speaking. God has used her to speak to David. We have that in our own lives, and that doesn't mean that somebody that speaks wisdom into my life replaces the Holy Spirit. But anytime we listen to godly counsel, anytime we listen to someone who, and it's not to say they're any wiser than us or any smarter than us, but maybe on a certain situation, maybe we're frustrated. Because remember, this whole situation is about David has been wronged. What do we do when we are wrong? We looked at that last week, what we normally do when we're wrong. So we're upset, we're frustrated, we feel like we're wrong, and the Holy Spirit speaks to us, or someone in a godly place speaks to us and says, hey, this is what you probably should do. Now, understand this. We don't have to listen. If we fast forward, and we'll see it here in a few weeks in 2 Samuel, where David did not listen when the servant said, is that not Uriah the Hittite's wife? That was code for, hey, David, she's married. You don't need to look at her. I don't care if she's naked, bathing on the roof. You don't need to look at her, and you certainly don't need to send for her. But David does anyway. So he did not listen then. He ran through the stop sign, so to speak. But on this time, he listens. Now, he could have taken her food and said, hey, you still owe me some food. I'm still going to kill you. Or he could have kept going past the food and said, not offering that, too late now. But he does it. We don't know exactly why. We don't know how. We know that she was beautiful and intelligent. It could be that her beauty stopped him. It could be that he was just very hungry and the food stopped him. But we know this, that God changed his heart somewhere from the time he mounted his horse to the time he got to her. And that's the way it always happens, that God changes our hearts. God can move kings. He can move, and we see it all throughout the Bible, especially the Old Testament. It is God that moves our hearts. But ultimately, it is up to us to listen. Do we listen to the pleadings of the Holy Spirit? Do we listen to God's counsel? Do we listen to God's word? Do we listen to godly people when they warn us? Now, you know, I mean, I say this, a lot of this crowd over here is older. I'm not saying y'all are young over here, but a lot of this crowd's older. Y'all have been there. Y'all are at the stage in life where y'all are giving out advice and your children don't listen to you. And you're like, oh, they just listen to me. And you just want to bang your head into a wall. And sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. And they're like, look, you don't need that new car. You don't need that new house. You don't need to go on these vacations. You don't need to do that. You don't need to say this on Facebook. You don't need to do all that. I've done that. I've lived it. But your children don't want to listen to you. And so like, you're like, you know, very frustrated. But then that one time they do listen, you're like, oh, they finally listened to me. And all of us have been there. Our parents or somebody older than us has told us something. Sometimes we haven't listened. But then when we do listen, it's like, oh, they saved us. They saved us a lot of heartache. So let's, as we look at that, that's what David said, that's what David did. Now let's back up and see, by him listening, what all he was saved from. All right, so we know that physically he listened to her and he says, you are blessed for stopping me. So this is what would have happened had he not listened. Now go back to 26. And this is Abigail speaking, and she's prophesying, but it's all, it would have come to pass. It says, now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has restrained you from shedding blood. She's prophesying. David hasn't listened to her yet, but she's very smart, the Bible says. And so she's telling him, David, you're going to listen. It's not like some Yoda mind trick. She's just saying, David, I know you're going to listen to me here. Since the Lord has restrained you from shedding blood and from avenging yourself by your own hand, now then let your enemies and those who seek evil against my Lord be as Nabal. So she is pronouncing this blessing on him, and she's not a prophet in the sense that we would normally think of a prophet, but what she's saying is, if you are wise, David, if you don't kill, if you don't take matters into your own hand, God's going to take care of you, and he's going to let your enemies, what happened to them is what you want to do to Nabal. Now see, when David did restrain himself from shedding blood, then we see after he does listen that David does not have that on his hands. Now fast forward to Bathsheba, he is going to do that. He's gonna kill Uriah the Hittite, and then what does God tell him? You're gonna have trouble the rest of your life and your family for doing this. If David had only listened then like he does here, then a lot of that stuff might not have happened or would not have happened, but he has restrained himself. For us, it's like this, and we talked about this 3 or 4 weeks ago when we started. Most of you have not taken a life like David intended to, but you're mad, you're angry, you're going to respond, you're going to text, you're going to gossip, you're going to retaliate. And then God says, don't respond. Just don't. And you restrained yourself from doing it, and then you don't have to worry about carnage later. And that might not be that you, again, killed somebody, but it might be that you said something that you can't take back and you severed a relationship. But by restraining yourself, you don't have to do that. Verse 27 says, "Now then, this gift which your maidservant has brought to my Lord be given to the young men who accompany my Lord. Please forgive the transgression of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil will not be found in all your days." So Abigail says here, please forgive me, take this, it is upon me. And David does that. David not only restrained, he accepted her apology, he accepted her plea. And she says, evil will not be found in your house. Again, if you live long enough, somebody's gonna wrong you, you've been wrong. But when they come to you and apologize, even I know it wasn't Nabal, but when somebody is sincere like Abigail and apologizes, if we are children of God, God's going to move in our hearts and say, okay, you know what, I'm just going to accept this, and I'm going to move on. Because she says that the Lord will make an enduring house for you, because the Lord will fight your battles and evil will not be found in you. In other words, you follow the Lord. You do what God tells you to do and let him fight your battles. Don't take things into your own hands. And that's so hard for us, especially when we get in the flesh. It's hard for us to stay out of the flesh. So then she said, "Should anyone rise up to pursue you and to seek your life, then the life of my Lord shall be found in the bundle of living with the Lord your God. But the lives of your enemies he will sling out as far from the hollow of a sling. And when the Lord does this for my Lord according to all the good that is spoken concerning you and appoints you ruler over Israel, this will not cause grief or a troubled heart to my Lord, both by having shed blood and without cause, and by my Lord having avenged himself." She says, if you do this, David, if you listen to me, you don't have to live with grief and you don't have to live with a troubled heart. And I said it, I don't know if it was last week and here or on Sunday morning, I can't remember now, but it's liberating when we live in God's grace. It's liberating when we live with that freedom that we have forgiven somebody. And you say, well, what if they don't ask for forgiveness? That's not on us. Now, I've had people that, I'll say this, most of the time when somebody's mad at me, it's deserved. I'll be the first to admit that. I've done stuff before and didn't know it. And I can remember 20-something years ago, it seems like, it may not be that long, somebody told me that, it's funny that Travis is here. He was a part of those old Danville softball teams that we had. And somebody told me a name one day, and I was like, I don't know that person. They're like, oh, really? Well, he didn't like you. I'm like, well, I don't even know who he is. How does he not like me? And they said, well, he remembers y'all playing church softball against him, and he didn't like anybody in Danville Baptist. He said, y'all were all cocky. And I'm like, okay. I was like, well, I guess that's a good reason not to like me. And the person I was with was sitting there and goes, sounds about right. And I was like, were we that bad? And he goes, yeah, you were probably pretty bad at times. I was like, we were just having fun. So there are times where I probably wasn't wrong, didn't know it, and was still wrong. Most of the times, And, you know, and Lori's good to tell me, and she tells me in a loving way, yeah, you were wrong there. And I'm like, really? I was wrong? And I shouldn't have done that? And she's like, no, you shouldn't have done that. And I'm like, okay, well, I need to apologize then. And then there are the rare occasions, and it's happened a couple times in ministry where I honestly don't know what I did. And then when I retrace it, I'm like, I really still don't know what I did wrong there. But that's not the point. The point is, if that person feels wrong, then we should try to make amends. The Bible teaches that. We should apologize, or we should ask forgiveness. Abigail didn't do anything wrong here. But the point is that she's saying here, you don't have to live with that troubled heart. You don't have to live with grief, knowing that you responded in a way that you shouldn't respond. Now, and Lori can tell you this, when I'm wrong, I'm going to eventually figure it out. Even if it's not her telling me, trust me, I've got somebody in our house who thinks she's the Holy Spirit. She likes to point out everybody's sins. I don't have to call her out. I think y'all would probably know. But so she's going to tell me if I'm wrong. Now, usually what I have to do is I have to take a walk and think about it about an hour or so, and then I realize, okay, I was dead wrong. And whatever it is, and the offending party will then get an apology from me or whatever. I'll have to call somebody or I'll go see them. But it comes like that grief, that troubled heart. When we are children of God and we sin, the Holy Spirit's going to convict us of that sin. Now, it may not be right away. It may be that we're not ready, our heart's not ready. It may be that you've done something and that God, he's going to convict you later on. But if you are a child of God, he's not going to let you live in perpetual sin. And that comes from that grief or that troubled heart. And what Abigail's saying is, since you didn't do this, or since you're not going to do this, you're not going to have to live with it. But then later on, we're going to see that he makes the mistake of doing that with Bathsheba and killing her son. And then he has to live with it the rest of his life. And it wasn't even from retaliation. But the big thing is this, and we go back to that one word, and then we'll end it, is this: he listened. He says, see, I've listened to you and granted your request. In other words, we have the opportunity every day to listen to the Holy Spirit, to listen to God's word, to read it. And it's just amazing when we do it, what happens. And so I was, it's funny today in my reading, let me share this with you and then we'll go if I can find it. I'm a little bit ahead. I was finished, so I started reading through the Bible. So I'm a little bit ahead. Every year, I'm kind of a creature of habit. I always read Genesis first and Job, and I'm reading it together, and I read Matthew. I try to, start all of those in January. And so I think I'm in 12, and I can't remember the exact verse. So I'm going to have to, it's written down in there. I was reading another Bible. And I was going to see if I could find it real quick. But as I was reading today, and something come up last night. This guy that I follow on Twitter, again, is one of those guys that said, his words were, absorb the most, but speak the least. And I read that and I thought, yeah, that's good. That's real good for me. I need to do that. I need to absorb what people say, but just keep my mouth shut. It's something that honestly I've been working on since Monday. Whoever laughed at that's in trouble. But I really have been working on it. Was that Lori or Mandy? I really have been working on that all week, all right? I've been saying, all right, I talk too much, I text too much, I tweet too much. I got to quit. I just got to listen. So I come to work this morning with that on my mind. I'm thinking, so I'm reading in Matthew, and it says, "Every either make the tree good or its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good?" And here's the part. "For the mouth speaks out of what fills the heart." And I'm thinking, man, I'm just thinking about that. "The good man brings out his good treasure, what is good, and the evil brings out of his evil treasure what is evil." Here it is. "But I tell you, every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for on the day of judgment." So I'm reading that. Then I flip back, and I'm reading the Psalms like hopefully you are. Today's the 18th, right? Is that, that is right? So today I read, no, today's the 19th. So I read Psalm 19 today. And it goes like this. The heavens are telling the glories of God. Verse 2, day to day pours forth speech and night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are their words. Their voice is not heard. Their line is gone. And hold on, let me try to get to it here because I don't want to have to read all of it back to you. Here it is in verse 13 says this. Also, keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let not them rule over me. Then I will be blameless, and I shall be acquitted with great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. So I'm reading in Matthew, and it talks about every careless word. Then I'm reading in Psalm, it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. And then I'm reading that philosopher that says, hey, let your words be few or absorb much and talk little. And I'm thinking, and God had already been convicting me about all this. But if I'm not in God's word, I don't see this. So here's the thing. We've got to get in God's word, but more than that, we've got to listen to it. We've got to let it change us and let it bring us closer to Jesus Christ. Because the book of James says, if we look at ourselves in a mirror and don't do anything about it, then what good have we done? So and I'm out of time. My challenge for us as we read this is to be like David, to listen to that counsel. That counsel can be godly people, but it is most definitely the word of our Lord. We listen to God when he speaks to us, and then we obey it. All right, I'm out of time, so let me pray for you. Father, we love you. Bless these people. I love them dearly. Help me as I teach and hopefully lead. Just use me and get the flesh out of the way, and help us all to just be more like Jesus. Help us to love people in the community that we're faced with every day, whether they need to be loved or whether they deserve to be loved or not, because none of us deserve your goodness. So help us to love people. Help us to show people Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank y'all.